Turn to the book of John, the 12th chapter. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. I'd like to begin reading with verse number 27 and read down to verse number 33 for our text this evening. John 12, verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. I want us to draw our attention to verse number 31 in particular tonight. And Jesus Christ, as he draws ever nearer to his crucifixion and his death upon the cross, says in verse number 31, Now is the judgment of this world. I want you to think with me about that word judgment. The word judgment here comes from the Greek word krisis. Means a tribunal. It means justice, condemnation, or damnation. It is from this Greek word that we get our English word crisis. I want to preach on a message we've entitled The Crisis of the World. The Crisis of the World. This message tonight is far above me. A message that needs preached more and needs preached everywhere. We sought the Lord's will, and the Lord kept burdening us and laying this message upon our heart. And I hope you'll pray even at this second that God might just allow us in some small way to be able to bring forth the words that are on our heart tonight. This is the message of the Scriptures. This is the message of all history. Jesus is saying, now is the crisis of the world. Now is the pivotal moment in all of the world's history. Now is the central event of all humankind's existence. Now has come the crisis of the world. Now, we use the word crisis all the time. Every time we hit a little bump in the road of life, you know, we think it's a crisis. But Jesus here is not talking about some trivial event. He's not talking about just some so significant event. He is talking about the crisis of the world. The main event of all history, of all eternity, when you think about man and God's plan for man. The crisis of the world. If you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never hear a more needed message than the one we find in this text. If you're here and you're saved, you'll never hear a message that its content has changed your life as much as the content of this message. Jesus says the crisis, the judgment of this world has come, and the prince of this world will be cast out. At the moment of this crisis, the prince of the world is going to be defeated. He's going to be destroyed. He's going to be dethroned. He's going to be cast out. The word prince here in verse number 31 comes from the Greek word archon, which means first in rank or power, the chief ruler or a magistrate. And Jesus is setting the stage for something that is about to happen, and he's telling his disciples and he's telling these people here that we are right now at the moment of seeing the crisis, at seeing the judgment, at seeing the pivotal event in all of history happen. And when this happens, a prince is going to be dethroned. A prince is going to be cast out. A ruler, a high-ranking individual, a person of power, is going to be cast out. Folks, I believe Jesus Christ, when he talks about this prince being cast out, is talking about Satan. He's saying we're at the pivotal time, we're at the crisis of the world. A great event is going to happen, and Satan, the god of this world, the prince of this world, is going to be cast out. All of history was working towards this moment. And all history since has looked back to this moment. It was the crisis of the world. If every country with nuclear weapons was to send them off all at the same time, it would not be a crisis like the crisis that Jesus Christ is referencing here. The crisis he's talking about has to do with the gain or the loss of men's souls. Has to do with the defeating of the prince of this earth. Matthew chapter 4, in the temptation of Jesus Christ, Satan took Jesus Christ up into a high place, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And Satan said, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all of these. You ever stop and realize that what Satan was promising was actually something temporarily he could deliver? They were his. Here Jesus Christ proves that by telling us that Satan is the prince, the chief ruler of the world at this moment. When Satan said, worship me and I'll give you all of these kingdoms, he was promising something he could have actually delivered. If you'll bow down to me, then I'll give you all these things. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, It is hid to them that are lost. If there's anybody who cannot see, cannot receive our gospel, it is those that are lost. Because of their depravity, because of their deadness, they can't see our gospel. They can't see what we see. The reason they can't see it, he says in verse number 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Here, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul talks about the God of this world, the ruler of this earth, is what he is saying. Look over to Ephesians chapter 2. In verse number 2, it says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Here we find the phrase or the title, the prince of the power of the air. These scriptures, folks, are referencing the same individual. Adam fell, and the world fell with him. And Satan gained, if you would, control by the allowance of God, but control over this earth. And folks, he has limited control now. But back here, he had all control. He had not yet been defeated. He was the prince. He is the prince in Scripture of this earth. Look at chapter 6, verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not at Disneyland. We're on the devil's territory. He is the prince. He is the God of this earth. And Jesus Christ is talking about the crisis of the world where the prince, where Satan would be defeated. Thank God he was defeated. He stands defeated right now. One day he's going to be removed and chained. He knows his time is short. I believe he knows he was defeated at this crisis of the world. And he hates you and he hates me and he hates Home Baptist Church more than he's ever hated us and hated this church before, because he was defeated years ago and because he knows his time is limited and he knows Jesus Christ is coming. We need to wake up to the reality of the environment we live in. Look with me to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. John, the 14th chapter, and verse number 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, Jesus Christ speaking again, for the prince of this world cometh. The chief ruler, the magistrate, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Then in chapter 16 of this same gospel, verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Jesus is saying in our text that the crisis of the world is now. the pivotal time, the pivotal moment, the pivotal event of all human history was about to happen. And Satan was going to be defeated. Folks, the time that Jesus Christ was talking about, I believe he was talking about his approaching crucifixion. And the battle and the war that was going to be fought there as well. I think tonight of the song that you've heard here so many times. I remember Brother Mark hearing it, singing it so many times in the conferences. It is finished. There's a line that's been drawn down through the ages, and on that line stood the old rugged cross. And there on that cross, all the forces of evil and all the forces of good and God met there to see what was going to happen. They weren't there to do battle, but they were there to see what was going to happen. And Jesus Christ is saying, when he hung up on that cross, it was going to be the crisis of the world. It was going to be the pivotal event in all of human history when Satan would be defeated. See, there wasn't any ifs, ands, and buts or maybes about this. He says, the crisis has come and the prince of this earth will be defeated. This great conflict of the world occurred on a hill called Calvary. A place called Golgotha. And our Savior was crucified to win this great conflict, to win this great crisis. The long conflict between light and darkness, the battle between God and Satan, came to a climax on that cross. We read in our text of verse 32 where we can identify this when he says, after that, he says in verse 31, now is the crisis of the world. He says in verse 32, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Now has the crisis come, and I'm going to be nailed to a cross, and I'm going to be lifted up on the hill. I'm going to be suspended between heaven and earth, and a battle's going to rage. Everything before this and everything after that will all hinge, if you would, upon the outcome of this great crisis. Verse number 33, he said this, signifying what death he should die. Greatest crisis the world has ever known, the greatest war that has ever been fought, was fought on a hill called Golgotha, just a little outside of Jerusalem. The outcome of this great conflict is why about 2,000 years afterwards or so, we're still meeting. And we're here tonight. It is the outcome of this great conflict that separates some here from others. It is the outcome of this great conflict, of this great crisis, that some folks here are looking forward to glory and others still lost in their sins. Jesus was promised, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God said, the seed of the woman is going to destroy you. The seed of the woman is going to bruise your head, Satan. That was a promise concerning the Messiah, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. God was putting the devil on warning. You're going to prick him, but he's going to destroy you. You're going to be a thorn, but he's going to go to the cross, and he's going to shed his blood, and he's going to dethrone you. It was promised. Here in John chapter 12, Verse 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." The hour is coming when the prince and the power of this earth is going to be defeated. I'm going to be glorified, and I'm going to be enthroned, and I'm going to be shown as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to be shown as the promised Messiah, as the Savior. Verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour?" No! It's for this hour that I came. It is for this crisis that I'm here. It is for this moment that I was born there in that manger. It was for this moment that I lived and subjected myself to my parents. It was for this moment that I kept the law perfectly. It was for this moment that I always did the will of the Father. It is for this moment that I've come to this earth, that I might defeat the prince of this earth and win the salvation and win the souls of my people and pay for their sins and gain their eternal life. It is this moment that I've come to die. The world will think of it as a great defeat, but it'll be a day of great victory. It'll be a day of great victory. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 13. "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, and nailing it to his cross." Everything that stood against me, everything that said guilty, everything that said condemned, everything that said he should die, everything that said he should be suffering in hell forever, everything against me, Jesus Christ took to the cross there. And at the great crisis of this world, he nailed it there and gained the victory for Randy Titus and for everyone else here who is saved. Victory is ours because when the crisis of the world came, Jesus Christ went to the cross and he defeated the old devil. The old devil. Verse 15, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them." Isn't that wonderful? All the powers of darkness. You know, people think of good and evil as a great battle, you know, and we just really don't know how it's going to turn out. You know, there's still a slim chance evil's going to win. No. Evil's already been defeated. Jesus Christ has already triumphed over evil and Satan and his demons and hell. He's triumphed over all the bad. He's gained the victory. He's made a show of them, triumphing over them in it. Look at Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews 2. Verse 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy." Satan spent a lot of years nipping at the heels of our Lord. But Jesus Christ, at one moment upon the cross, struck a blow to the head of Satan and destroyed him and all of his works and all of his plans, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil has been defeated. His kingdom was destroyed. His empire came to an end. His reign became a retreat. Jesus Christ was the victor there on the cross. Satan became the vanquished. Back in our text, we see the victory of Jesus Christ when he says in verse 32, "If I be lifted up," doesn't say I'll try, says I will draw all men unto me. I will succeed. I will be victorious. I will draw all men unto me. Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross, but then he was lifted up from the grave, and then he was lifted up to the right hand of the Father, the victor. We're sitting here tonight saved, born-again Christians, because Jesus Christ went to the cross and he faced that moment of crisis, the crisis of the world, and he won everything we enjoy and everything we have spiritually right now. He won it for us there, and he defeated the devil. The crisis of the world came. Jesus Christ went to the cross, and he defeated the devil. Jesus Christ was the victor. All the religions of the world can be traced back to a dead man somewhere, but Christianity traces itself back to a victor, back to a conqueror, back to one who yielded himself to the sufferings of the cross, one who yielded himself that he might die, that he might conquer death, to go to the grave that he might rise victorious over it. Christianity and what you and I believe doesn't go back to an empty grave or to a grave with a dead man's bones in it. It goes back to an empty tomb. It actually goes back to glory, where God restored to his Son the glory he had from the beginning. Through Jesus Christ, there's victory for all. Through Jesus Christ, there's victory for you, my sinner friend. The Philippian jailer cried out to Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" Their answer wasn't, "Sorry, you can't be," or "Sorry, you're too evil," or "Sorry, it just can't happen. There wasn't enough bloodshed," or "Jesus Christ hadn't won the victory. He's still working on it." No, their response to the Philippian jailer was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's still true tonight. Jesus Christ won the victory, and because he won the victory, there is victory for sinners tonight. Friend, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, victory is yours. Not through your efforts or through religion or through righteousness that you might muster up, but victory is yours by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. He won the victory. It's finished. One verse of that song that Mark sings talks about the battles that still rage in some people's hearts. They didn't know the war had been won. If you're here and you're without the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news is the war was won. And although it's raging within your chest and you fear dying and you fear hell and you fear what eternity holds, the battle was won those years ago on the cross of Calvary. Victory is yours for the taking through Jesus Christ, the great conqueror. Are you prepared for eternity? Not if you don't know the victor, the conqueror as your Savior. You're not. Victory is not only available for the sinner, but victory is available for God's people. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, "If we'll submit ourselves to God, Satan will flee from us." That's a promise we need to claim. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. we submit ourselves to God, Satan has to flee because Jesus Christ conquered him and we're his property. And in Jesus Christ, we're the children of God. And in Jesus Christ, we're seated at the right hand of God. And in Jesus Christ, we're interceded for and he's making intercession for us. And we don't have to be Satan's victims anymore. We can claim the victory through Jesus Christ, and we can overcome our sins and our temptations, and we can live a victorious Christian life. This may be the wilderness, but folks, we can find our way to a promised land where we live victorious in this world. I've heard Brother Clyde Hancock preach right here in this church about how that God wants us to live victoriously. And Jesus Christ accomplished that victory for us. And if we're discouraged and we're defeated and we're Satan's pawns and sin has gotten the best of us and our lives are miserable, poor examples of what a Christian ought to be, it's because we are not claiming the victory through the one who gave us the victory. Satan has been defeated. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be down. He's won the battle for us. All of creation is the winner. The Bible tells us that all of the creation moans and groans under the burden of sin, under the burden of the curse. But Jesus Christ won victory even for the creation. And you know, there's coming a day when he's going to rule and reign upon this earth, and there's not going to be that curse anymore. And I think all of creation is just going to take a great big sigh of relief. Oh, this is the way it's supposed to be. Because of Jesus Christ. This world isn't ours to save. Folks, God is in control of the course of this earth. He's only letting Satan now for a season do what he's doing, and in the end, he's going to get glory from that. But in the ultimate end, Revelation 20, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Millennial reign of Jesus Christ, when all the world sees who won at Calvary. He's going to rule and reign like this earth is supposed to be ruled and reigned over. And all of creation is going to just bask in the victory that Jesus Christ won. Look at 1 Peter 5. Notice, if you would, the length of this victory. Crisis of the world was fought and Jesus Christ won. Notice, if you would, the length of his victory. 1 Peter 5, verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Jesus Christ gained the victory for his Father, and God will be glorified forever and ever. Satan will be dethroned and Satan will be chained for 1,000 years. After 1,000 years, he's going to be cast out into hell in the lake of fire forever. Forever and ever in the lake of fire, but forever and ever, God the Father is glorified. Forever and ever, Jesus Christ is the victor. Jude, the 25th verse. Jude 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. The victory of Jesus Christ is an eternal victory. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 6. He hath made us kings and priests. Here's where it gets really good and glorious for us as human beings, saints of God. He's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. the victory that Jesus Christ won there is an eternal victory. And it's also an eternal victory for you and I who are saved. Once the rapture takes place, the Bible teaches us forever we'll be with the Lord. Forever to be with the Lord. The crisis of the world isn't happening in the Middle East tonight. The crisis of the world that Jesus was talking about in John 12 is not some future event. The crisis of the world took place long ago in Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ walked those steps. Allowed himself to be brutalized, allowed himself to be spat upon, allowed himself to be beaten, allowed himself to be mocked. And he walked and he walked and he walked and he walked up that hill and they didn't have to drag him. He wasn't kicking and screaming. He walked up there and that cross was placed before him and Jesus Christ laid himself down there and gave his hands to those nails and gave his feet to those spikes that were driven through him. He gave his side to that spear. He gave his head to that crown. And he allowed himself to be lifted up because he knew that was the moment that he had come to this earth for. He knew that it was the crisis of the world. He knew it was for that purpose. He came, and he did what was required of him, and he defeated Satan. And that was the crisis of the world. And all praise God, the victory has been won. It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. End of the conflict, and Jesus is Lord. I want us, in closing, as we think about the crisis of the world, to ask ourselves tonight, those of us who are the benefactors from this great crisis, Christian, more particularly a member of Home Baptist Church, those many years ago, Jesus Christ, for you, for your sins, he faced the crisis of the world. He went up to that cross and he gave himself there on Calvary to win the victory for you. If you're here and you're saved, I believe you can say, as scripturally as you can say anything, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, when Jesus Christ was there between heaven and earth, when Jesus Christ was facing the crisis of the world, I and you, we were on his mind. He wasn't dying for some unknown group of people. He was dying for you and I. He faced the crisis of the world for us, and we're saved tonight because he went to that moment for us. But are we experiencing a crisis of faith? Romans chapter 12 tells us in the Word of God, we're begged, we're beseeched by the Word of God to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It is our reasonable service. For us as Christians, for members of Home Baptist Church, Jesus Christ faced the crisis of the world. Are you presenting your body a living sacrifice? Conducting yourself as one who has experienced the victory through Jesus Christ? Are you the Christian you ought to be at this moment? Are you the church member of Home Baptist Church that you ought to be? Are you facing a crisis of faith? Or are you living victorious because he faced the crisis of the world? Where are we in relationship to our love for Jesus Christ? Where are we in relationship to our godliness and our holiness and our separation and our standards? Where are we when we walk outside the doors of this church and there's not a lot of church members watching us? Where are we in our lives? Are we living as living testimonies to the one who faced this crisis for us? Have we developed such a pathetic attitude that we think it's too great a price to live like a Christian in 2002? I would remind you that that passage in Romans tells us it's our reasonable service. God doesn't ask much of us at all. Compared to the crisis that Jesus Christ faced, we've never known crisis. In fact, the Bible says we ought to be ashamed of our mumbling and grumbling because we've not yet resisted unto blood. But if you look into the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured that crisis. Are you the Christian you ought to be? God, help us to search our hearts. If you're here and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you die in that condition, you've got a great crisis facing you yet. Sin has to be paid for. Sin has to be punished. If not paid for, not punished upon the cross of Jesus Christ, it's paid for and it's punished in an eternity in hell. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, let's read verse 7 also. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, and the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ faced the conflict of the world, the crisis of the world. He went to war with Satan, and he won the victory. If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no victory. The Bible tells us, in fact, in John chapter 3, you stand condemned already. Basically, John 3 tells us you don't have to do anything to stand condemned at this moment. You're already there. It's already over you. And there's a crisis yet out there in your future when you're going to close your eyes in death. I don't care how young you are. Eventually, Jesus Christ is going to return in the tribulation period and all these things are going to unfold. Or if it's delayed, you're going to grow old and sooner or later, you're going to face eternity. And you're going to face a crisis when God the Father says, depart from me, I never knew you. Because the only ones I know are those who my son faced the crisis for. Where are you tonight? Do you know salvation and victory because Christ faced that crisis for you? If not, we don't apologize for inviting you to Jesus Christ. He's your only need. Don't leave this earth without Jesus Christ. And God help us who have benefited from that great battle. All the grace and the blessings we've enjoyed for the future that awaits us, God help us to really look at ourselves, see if we're really walking worthy of the one who fought that crisis for us. And if we're not, we ought to do whatever it takes at this moment to get ourselves right and glorifying to the one who saved our souls.